Marilynne Robinson's 1980 novel Housekeeping is on many best American novels lists. Her second novel, Gilead, won the Pulitzer. We now also know that Marilynne Robinson is a Presbyterian turned Congregationalist who grew up in Idaho and thinks English has been dumbed down. In her new collection of essays, she proceeds to raise the bar, whether she's exploring Christianity's Jewish origins or defending the idea of the American West in which she grew up. She says the Homestead Act is the most poetic piece of legislation since Deuteronomy, that of course being the book of the Bible where Moses speaks to the Israelites as they prepare to leave him and enter the Promised Land. Marilynne Robinson's new collection is called When I Was a Child, I Read Books. She joins us from the studios of Iowa Public Radio in Iowa City. She's a longtime teacher at the University of Iowa Writers Workshop. Marilynne, welcome back to Here and Now.
Well, thank you.
And start with Idaho. The title of your book is When I Was a Child, I Read Books. You know, we think of the passage from Corinthians. You know, when I was a child, I spoke as a child. And you did read books as a child.
I did. Actually, I put away childish things when I was a child and read books that were very much over my head.
And you say you walked into a library as a child and knew that you could write them.
Yes, which is a very strange intuition to have had. I had no idea what went into writing a book.
And talk more about being there in Idaho. How did the West form you?
Those things are always sort of hard to know, partly because you never, or at least I never, get far enough away from myself to make, you know, useful comparisons. But my brother and I have actually talked about this to some extent, and I think that one thing that we both feel is that we were sort of prepared to lead very inward lives, to be very much concentrated on the things that fascinated us. I remember being told by one of my teachers in high school that we should prepare the mind that we want to live with because we would be in our own mind for the rest of our lives, which I think is good advice, you know. But it certainly is advice that I followed. If something interested me, just the fact of interest has had great authority for me.
Well, there was also this sense that being lonesome, being just with your mind, was a good thing.
No question about it. No question about it. To be able to be alone was the great privilege. And there were lots of people that lived very isolated lives physically, people that were, in effect, hermits, and there still are. But the idea that your mind could be a pleasure to you in that deep way, I think, is one of the most valuable things that I was ever led to assume.
Yeah. And we're reminded that Housekeeping is set in the far West, two young girls raised by their eccentric aunt after their mother commits suicide, in a place in the far West where they're convinced the whole of human history has occurred elsewhere.
That's quite an autobiographical. I assumed that, too. It is amazing. You know, I mean, I would be taught the history of Rome, and it seemed as relevant to me as the history of anywhere else. It just seemed as if, you know, we were sort of so free-floating that anything was equally ours, anything by comparison with anything else.
And then you come east to go to school, and people just could not believe that you grew up in Idaho because how could you have learned anything?
It's very strange. And, you know, some of those things I quote, like the lady saying, there must have been talent in the family somewhere. The mere fact of publishing, the mere fact of teaching, and, you know, nothing solves this mystery for them of how someone from Idaho could have done so well.
Yeah. Somebody said to you when you went to Brown, how did you manage to get into Brown from Idaho?
Exactly.
And as it turns out, you probably had more of an awareness of the great literature and still do. You have these books. What is your connection to these books, the love of the writers that you have on your shelves?
It's interesting to consider. I mean, there are two things. One of them is that there are books that literally brought me up, you know, books like Moby Dick and all the great 19th century Americans. And then there are the other people whose books I recognize as the labor of years, you know, because I see them from the point of view of someone who has also written books.
And you also love the large minority of the writers on your shelves who have struggled with words and thoughts and, at least in your opinion, have lost that struggle.
It's true. In their own way, they make you think. When you think that can't be true or that isn't right, more and more I've begun to think of the world in important respects as a gigantic conversation, and that books as such have such an amazing survival, you're just sort of overwhelmed by the humanity of it all, you know? It's very moving, I think.
Your other great passion, besides words, seems to be your faith.
I am. I always have been fascinated by my own religious tradition. The literature, the music, the fact that every church is a little village, I find all that very moving, and I've very much enjoyed exploring.
I would say you are a progressive Christian? Is
I certainly am. Except I like that good old word, liberal.
Okay. You seem to love the story. And you're pretty critical of Christians who say there's only one way to heaven. You write, you don't think the U.S. is more beloved of God than France. And that this is too great a narrative. Reverence should forbid, in particular, its being subordinated to tribalism, resentment, or fear.
This book is a collection of lectures. Often they were given at rather conservative religious universities and colleges. And that very much encouraged my feeling that we're not talking to each other enough, that partly, frankly, as the fault of the media, only one view of things is being exposed, and that if we were actually in conversation, that a lot of this bitterness would go away. Because there's a very important belief that I find in all kinds of religious communities, that they are threatened, that there are hostile people that want to destroy their values and so on, you know. And this creates, you know, this sort of antagonism that, in my opinion, has nothing to do with Christianity and no place in it.
Your love of your faith meets your love of writing in hymns. Now, you say they move you so deeply you have difficulty speaking about them, but can you try? You know, what is it?
One of the things that was really striking and important to me was the way that heaven in these old hymns is thought of as home. The words are almost interchangeable. It's a very sweet, simple, democratic heaven that these hymns describe, you know, where you find your mother and your father, you know, and that's very moving to me. The idea of reunion at a kind of a theological level and also at a very, very lovely domestic level, pervasive in them.
Well, we have one of your favorites. Let's listen.
I come to the garden.
Tell your writing students that language is music, that characters have music, they have pitch and tempo.
I think that that's very important. I think to create good characters, they have to be very attentive to how people speak. People self-create as they speak.
In other words, if you want to be a good writer, you might listen to hymns.
I think a lot of people have done well, you know, Milton and others, Herbert. Listening to hymns.
Yeah. That's Marilyn Robinson. Her new collection of essays is When I Was a Child, I Read Books. Marilyn, thanks so much.
Oh, you're very welcome. It's been a pleasure.